This episode is brought to you by the Webcomic Beacon 2012 Spring Comic Book Giveaway. This spring, we're going to be giving away 4 copies of the volumes 1 and 2 of Family Bones. That is based on a true story about Ray and Faye Copeland, the serial killers. And along with that, there's going to be 1 CD pack giveaway of The Boobles, which is a mammary parody of Beatles songs. So you can go ahead and check it out at webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for more information on how to enter and a little bit more information on the things you can win.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 219 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, a part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, comic news, tropes, web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. I am Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And because Tanya's stepping down, we're going to be trying out to see if we can find somebody. We can't really replace Tanya, but see if we can have somebody stand in as that third co-host, the female co-host, token female co-host. We have Alex Heverling pulled over from the Webcomic Beacon newscast from alexsguide.net. Welcome to the show.
I feel like I should be singing Moving On Up. Now I just need to get on the web fiction world, too. And then master plan will be complete.
I'm not in charge of that one. I can't. You have to talk to Anna about that.
And I can't go all the way out to Minnesota, so I won't be able to be on first issue. So.
Well, yeah, no. Mark used to be on the newscast for a while, and then, I stopped asking him to come on.
Nobody needed me, really.
Well, you dropped the face of the too.
Anyway, this week we have, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Don Griffin from Zorbert and Fred? Is that as simply as you say it?
Zorfbert. The PH is like, you know, a PH and F.
I wasn't entirely sure. I just always call it Zorbert.
Zorfbert. Yeah, I mean, it's an alien name. What can you do?
Oh, and Fred is
also an alien name.
Yeah. And that's at zfcomics.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, thanks for coming on last minute, basically.
Yeah, no problem. I ain't doing anything on Super Bowl Sunday.
Nah.
I'm not the only one who doesn't care, am I?
Oh, I really. I mean, I'm a sports fan, but I could care less about either of these teams. So.
Oh, I like any New England team, but really the only reason to watch a Super Bowl is the commercials.
That's true. It's true.
And the only reason. Those wily advertisers, I, you know, was fully prepared to skip the Super Bowl this year, but then they released a teaser of some commercial where Matthew Broderick is reprising the role of Ferris Bueller. So now I have to watch the Super Bowl because I'm a rabid Ferris Bueller.
I heard about that.
Oh, I hate him.
I know that you hate him, Fess, but I love that movie so much.
He's a fucker.
I know. But it's... I have a long-standing celebrity crush on Matthew Broderick, so I can't help myself.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off is an example of a villain movie protagonist with no antagonist. Okay, there is one, but it's a villain
movie.
He's
just doing his job. That's the thing. Yeah. He's trying to be a good official of the school.
Yeah. And
Ferris Bueller's being a dick all day.
If anyone's a fucking Mary Sue...
Are they? Well, all right then.
Anyway, I do apologize for the language. I don't know what kind of audience you normally have. Should we tone the language down or
me? No.
Yeah. I mean, because if your audience isn't in for that language, I can always censor this episode.
No, that's fine. I think the people that would be listening to it wouldn't be like young children.
Wouldn't be your readers. So.
They wouldn't listen to the Webcomic Beacon.
Well, Alex brought up Ferris Bueller, and I blame her.
I know the rage that he inspires.
Rage! Anyway.
So angry, this podcast.
Yes! Yes!
I think
we are filled to the brim with the boiling rage. With the Sanka of hate. Well,
yes, that was, anyway. I was waiting for that.
I'm full of hope and happiness because this is like stay back in the realm of the living.
That's the
being on third shift for a year. So
that's awful.
Oh, a year. For the past 8 years, I've been working overnights. Weekends, mostly, out of those eight. Anyway, this podcast is about Dawn Griffin from ZFComics.com. I don't know if it's an entirely a newspaper style strip, but your typical classic four panel strip sort of comic, Zorfert and Fred. Now, let's say for our audience, give us a basic idea of what Zorfert and Fred is.
Oh, it's a pretty simple concept. Two aliens come to Earth to research humanity and disguise themselves as dogs, and that's basically the whole concept. But they get adopted into to a family, a young couple that takes them in, and so they're kind of the research, the people that they research the most. But with the help of a teleportation doghouse, they can go anywhere in the world and check things out in different places. So it's kind of like the TV show Third Rock from the Sun, just with dogs instead. So, it's a fun third-person look at humanity and making fun of us, because we can be pretty weird, us humans.
Well, yeah, that's a relative term, of course. now, is the female human in your comic you?
Basically, based on me. There's a lot of things that I won't get too far into. Like, if the couple in the comic is arguing, it's usually about something that's pretty common. They might be arguing about finances. Now, me and my husband, we don't really argue about finances. We argue about other things, but I try to keep that separate so that it's not biographical or anything about me. But, she's a bit of a tomboy and she likes sports, so that's kind of me.
Okay.
And she looks like me.
Well, there we go. So, how old is this comic? Like, when did you start?
It's almost, in a couple weeks, it's going to be 6 years old.
Cool. And it looks like, if I'm judging by your counts here, you're also going to be hitting strip 500 soon, too. Is that right?
I am, and I have something very special planned for 500.
Woo! So you got your year and you got two milestones coming up. I would say 500 is a month.
Yeah, they kind of synced up there. It's going to be right around the same, probably in the same week that both. Well, no, I think it'll be a week apart that both will
happen. Yeah, close enough, like President's Day.
You can have like Golden Week, like Japan does.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
There we go, a week celebration there,
a week long festival of Zorfert and Fred,
as it should be.
Yes.
So was this the first comic that first comic that you've ever done?
It's the first web comic. Prior to that, I was doing a comic called Leftovers, and that was basically my baby for like 15 years. Ever since I started drawing comics, when I was like 13 maybe, and I had submitted to syndicates like every single year, and I was trying to get it, the traditional route of getting it syndicated and getting into newspapers. So at like 14, I'm like, I better get started on this now, because it took Bill Watterson like 10 years to get into newspapers. So I better start this now so that when I'm 24, I'll be rich and famous, 14 years old.
But you're 30.
I thinking?
You're 34 now.
And what?
You're 34 now then. If I
am.
Put the math
together.
I'm
32.
32. Well, close.
Yeah. Okay. I estimated this somewhere around 15.
Okay, now I ask this of everybody who's had comics projects in the past: is it available online anywhere? Can people find it or buy it or see what you have done, or are you just too ashamed of it?
Actually, it's on drunkduck.com. I haven't put this out in like ages, so I'm not even sure if I'm getting it right, but I think it's still at drunkduck.com. slash probably the underscore leftovers. I believe that's it. let me go verify that, actually.
Well,
this is how long since I've talked about this comic at all.
Well, Drunk Duck did change a bit since maybe you put it up. But the leftovers, yep, D. Griff 13, it's there.
That would be me, yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, there everybody can go and check out her older art, the cringe-inducing art that artists, you know, kryptonite of artists, I'm sure.
is old art, yes.
Well, yeah, actually looking at like the last page is up here. Yeah, it doesn't really look all that bad, honestly. Let's click your first page. No, it really doesn't look all that bad, you bastard.
I mixed it in. That's the thing is I didn't post this when it was being done because, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know about I didn't know anything about webcomics until 2006 when I started looking for some place that I could easily post Zorfbert and Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was still sending Zorfbert and Fred out to syndicates at this point. So I'm like, I need somewhere I can put it online and it wouldn't be too hard to do. And I found it. And I'm like, oh, this webcomics is like a thing, you know? So I, you know, got into it more and started seeing that I could just do this my damn self and be done with it. But so I just bought into that whole concept. Like, okay, you know what? Screw it. Screw the syndicates. I'm just going to do this myself because I'm getting in nowhere with them. Mm-hmm.
Stick it to the man.
Stick it to the man.
I know your pain here. I totally have felt that pain.
Yeah. I mean, I would get from syndicates writing back letters that would say, like, helpful ideas or this is really good, but, you know, this is just one step away. Just keep at it. And the last round of submissions that I sent in for ZNF, I got one back that said that we like it, but we cannot do it justice. And that's all it said. Like, what? What does that mean? I think it just meant it's not proper for newspaper. Like, it's not going to work for the newspaper viewers. So I'm like, you know what? It is kind of a quirky concept. And I could see, you know, little old ladies who want to read Blondie or whatever being like, what is this? So,
well, the newspapers.
Rainbow Comics.
The newspaper is special because you kind of the average reader is not going to have access to the archive and may not, and that's the problem with newspaper comics is they are I would say in general aside from a very few where you read them like those highly detailed comics that are only like 2 pages long, you have absolutely no idea what's going on because you haven't been following for the past 25 years. You know which ones I'm talking about. There's like
Prince Valiant.
Yeah, there's
right. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, but most of them, and what newspaper comic readers are accustomed to, are the ones that will work for that day, and you don't have to. Or there's like a little recap at the beginning, which Mark, I have noticed that you do that.
Do I do that?
Or you have done it? Like especially early on, you had the sort of end of the one strip, and at the beginning, you had like a fairly quick recap of what happened last time, or you reset the stage. And that's fairly common for newspaper comics. When you have like a long form or a story comic, it doesn't seem to be in the newspapers as it doesn't seem to work in the newspapers. As well.
No, the soap opera things like Rex Morgan, M.D., Mary Worth,
that was what
stuff
was
like that. About. Then you have at least one comic I know of that goes the opposite way and it hyper condenses everything. That's Gil Thorpe, the sports comic.
Hmm.
That one you have 3 panels and they're like just random slices of what they did that day, you know, like or random plays during the big game, and that's. It's almost unintelligible. You can't really follow it very easily when they do that. That's the opposite extreme, I think.
Anyway,
they don't recap on those either. They just have 3 panels, and that's what they work with.
There you go. But I was saying, like, maybe that's what they're trying to say by not being able to do it justice. I'm just theorizing.
Theorizing, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, who knows?
It was a nice way of saying, yeah, no. So...
So how have things been for you with the comic from the beginning to now, as basically an independent online publisher? How has it been treating you?
You know, pretty good. I got a huge jolt right in the beginning, because when I was on, when I was, well, I have my own site now, but I was originally on Drunk Duck for maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And that's, you know, before I moved over to my own site. And, you know, still figuring out what this whole webcomics thing is 2 weeks into having posted, and I posted like 40 comics right away that I just had on hand. So I just posted all 40 of them, and then I would post like maybe twice or three times a week. And right away I was featured, and I didn't even know what that meant yet. So all of a sudden I got like 20 comments on my latest strip, and everyone's like, congratulations, congratulations. I'm like, what the hell did I do? You know, so I had no idea. I mean, they don't send you a notification like, congratulations, you were featured. See your comic here. So I go to the main page, and there's my comic. I'm like, oh.
Congratulations, did I get married?
I know. I look behind me like, what did I do?
What did I do last night? Was there money in it?
No. How much did I drink? Oh, God. But, no, it was awesome, though, because, you know, I got a lot of new readers all of a sudden, and a lot of them have stuck with me. I mean, a good chunk, maybe 30% of the readers that I have now are people that found me on Drunk Duck.
Cool.
So, you know, they kind of followed me over, which I was worried that I would lose everyone once I left Drunk Duck, because it's very community-based, and we only read comics here, and kind of people are very, you know, I want to stay in the site. I don't want to go elsewhere. So, well, it was reassuring to know that my comic was worthwhile enough, or I'm worthwhile enough for them to follow me over. So that was really nice.
Do you still mirror over there at least? Like a late update at least?
No, I've completely cut it off. I think I posted like a landmark comic over there for maybe 250 or something like that. But I keep everything on one site. I'm trying to keep basically there's one hub and that's it. You go to the one place to get the comic instead of splitting up traffic and having people all over the place. Like, I want people to come to one place. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I've been reluctant to completely take either of my comics off of Drunk Duck, just because, well, there was more of a community there, but, you know, then it got to the point I keep forgetting to update it.
But yeah, if I could set it up to be like once every third update or something like that, or like, you know, maybe you get Mondays, but for Wednesday and Fridays, you have to go to the main site. If I could set it up to be automatic, like a WordPress plugin or something that would do that, I would consider it. But it's just, how much time do I have between posting on the site, you know, actually doing the comic and posting on the site, and then spending the entire day social networking it like crazy? You know, how much time? I literally don't have the time to start posting everywhere else that I can find, you know?
And we hope our readers will do the linking around the social network. You know, hey, go read this comic. Oh, there, it's on Facebook now. And
that's true. But if I was going to do anything else with Drunk Talk, what I want to do is actually log in and start like commenting on people's stuff. I think that lends a hand more than anything else. If someone's nice enough to comment on your comic, a lot of times they check out yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you're discovering new comics and, you know, hopefully learning new things about, you know, what you can do, picking up stuff from them. Like, oh, that's a good idea. Like how they did that. And then, you know, but then again, I need time. If I didn't have a day job,
you know,
I could sit home and do this all day.
the thing that pays. If it weren't for that,
yeah, that goddamn paying job.
I think that's a very interesting idea. You know, just the whole idea of trying to get your comic out there. I don't know what your reader number is, but I would have to assume that once you hit a certain threshold, you are able to have a single spot, versus if you're still fairly small, you kind of really want to get out there as much as possible. So when I remember, I'll post on Facebook, I'll post on Tumblr, I'll post on Drunk Duck, I'll post on Google Plus. All this stuff.
I call it syndicated, both on Google Plus and Tumblr. You can read my whole archives there. And it's kind of interesting. Like, a lot of the small press comics people I know have a completely different stance on, you know, having one central hub, one website where you can all, you know, see everything and direct all traffic to there. Like, there's people I know who will put their comic on every, like, comic hosting site that they can.
And well, there's arguments for getting, both sides, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would argue that if you're starting out and you have a small readership, that's probably the better way to go. But if you're PvP or something like that, if you're like that, well, that's high tier.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't really help you, because at that point you can really use your website real estate to make ad money.
You can throw your weight around a lot better when you're that big.
I would argue even if you're at a mid-tier level, I would probably ditch... I would probably start ditching mirror sites unless they, you know, you design them or to update later or something like that, and you have a notice, hey, go to the main site or whatever, if you want to keep that up. But yeah, like once you start hitting like 10,000, I would, unless you got a really good community somewhere else other than your main site, but still, especially after Drunk Duck basically changed, you can't edit the HTML anymore, you can't put your ads on over there anymore.
Yeah, it seems like there's it's no changed. I mean, it was going downhill as far as the community was going, you know, the community and everything when I was there, and when I left, it was around, I guess it was around 2007, 2008, in between there. And it was just, it was not quite the same as what I remember when I first signed up, you know, and right. I was like, oh, okay, you know, I hate to leave because so many people are like, don't leave Drunk Duck, oh my god, you know, it was just kind of this death sentence to a lot of people that, oh fine, you know, like I was leaving Drunk Duck for greener pastures, and like, screw you guys, you
well,
know.
It's but true, technically, I mean,
yeah, but you know, I do need more control over my site, and
right.
You know, I need a site that I can back up, and you know, if Drunk Duck crashes or is closed for the day, yeah. You know, you got nothing you could do about it. If your own site, your own server goes down, you can call, complain, you can move to a different place, you know, that won't do that. So, right. You know, there's advantages to getting my own site besides just the URL, you know.
Yeah, the goal for a aspiring professional or professional cartoonist online is to have your own place. You know, to have that control over it, to have that more direct control, and when Drunk Duck switched, and you can't, I mean, you know, you could easily mirror over there if you had like your own Project Wonderful ads embedded in over there, and it's like, well, you're right. Still adding to the, you know, for what you can do with real estate, but
I never used mirror sites. Maybe I should have. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe you should actually.
I don't know. Are there really any good ones anymore? Drunk Duck, Genesis.
I'd still argue Drunk Duck would be a really good place to go for a lot of startup and lower tier webcomics. I would still argue that. And if you do want to just do a hobby comic, Drunk Duck, totally. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy, boom. I mean, it's something. It's free, and it's easy. I can't really speak for the other ones because I haven't had really good... Smack Jeeves always pissed me off.
Yeah, me too. I was on Smack Jeeves for a little bit too, and it kind of drove me nuts.
It's like, maybe if you really knew how to do coding, Smack Jeeves or Webcomics Nation or something like that, their default settings are just so eh. But
yeah. Webcomics Nation, is that even around anymore?
I thought it was.
I think I was a part of that too. I mean, for a while I was mirroring everywhere I could mirror, you know. I can't say that it helped me a great deal or anything. I mean, Drunk Duck was always more community-based. Everything else, I would get a comment like once a month. But it's as much as you put into it.
Mm-hmm,
if I had time to go to each mirror site and go around and comment on other people's comments and get involved in the community and have people know who I am, you know, or see my little avatar, and then would check out my comic. But again, it's how much time do you have, you know?
Right, so. Right. And that's part of working for yourself, you know, DIY.
Yep.
So we're going to take our first break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Since 2010, the Webcomic Beacon newscast has been a source of recap, evaluation, and discussion of the news items of the week that affect webcomic creation, promotion, exposure, as well as going over some tutorials that can enrich the comic creation experience. Broadcasting live weekly at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So, Dawn.
Yes.
Are there any other comics projects that you have worked on since Sorfbert and...
Don't hurt yourself then.
ZF.
There you go, just do that. other projects. As far as drawing comics itself, no, I've just been doing ZNF, but I do have a couple other projects that I'm working on. One is the Webcomic Alliance, webcomicalliance.com, and it's a advice tutorial site, but we also have a podcast called the Webcomic Workshop, and you know, it's basically about five of us, and sometimes members shuffle in and out depending on who's busy and who's, you know, who can help and who can't. You know, it's Byron Wilkins of 1977, the comic, Ken Drabb of Rick the Stick, Antoine Gagnon of Drunken Fools, and Drez Rodriguez of El Cuervo comic. And then the four of us will write articles, and we'll have video tutorials, and we do a pick of the week every Monday, just kind of showcasing one webcomic we think needs to be promoted more. And then once every other week, we put out a podcast, which has I'm actually pretty impressed with what we came up with as far as the whole setting of it, how it's set up. In that we each bring an issue to the podcast, an issue being something that we've been trying to work through. It's driving us crazy. Like, you know, should I handwrite my fonts or should I use a typeface? You know, like things like that. And we'll just propose it to the group and do a roundtable discussion about that for about 15 minutes and then move on to the next person. And sometimes we'll have guests that come on and they bring an issue as well. And then at the end, people can... readers, listeners can submit a question prior, and then we'll pick one of them and discuss a reader question or a listener question, I guess you'd say. So it's a pretty good podcast, and it's a lot of fun for us to do, and it's really beneficial for us because I've gotten some great ideas from my fellow cohorts. So that's taking up a chunk of my time right now. And other than that, I have a kids book series that I illustrate. So
What's that?
Why wouldn't that be part of the other comics project that I asked about before?
I guess because it's a kids book, so it's not like a comic or comic strip or comic book or anything. But I illustrate a kids book series for girls 3 to 8 years old. It's called Abby's Adventures.
It's like illustrations that adjoin basically written text.
Yeah, I work with a writer, so she gives me the script, and I do all the illustrations for it.
But it's not like comic. It's like you read like two pages or a page and a half, and there might be an illustration at the.
It's like a storybook.
Yeah,
it's a kids' book storybook.
Okay, I got it.
It's not really. It's not published online. It's published through Cafe Press, and then you know we go around to craft fairs or book fairs. They actually sell really good at Comic Cons. Go figure. It's really a cute series. It's very girly. So this is a series I would never have read when I was little. Like, my favorite book was a baseball book. Like, I loved this baseball book about this little boy who wanted to have a lucky hat and lucky bats, and he would hit a home run, and then he learned how to, you know, get better with practice and determination and all the, you know, that was my favorite book.
My lucky
hats.
My favorite children's books had to be the ones with like the little porcupine kid family.
Oh, right.
and the Berenstain Bears.
My sister loved Berenstain Bears. My God.
I was so out of touch when I was a kid because I was reading Matthew Looney. And nobody else was reading Matthew Looney books at that age. Or Miss Pickerel. Miss Pickerel, another thing from like the 50s. No one was reading but me. Or I had this book I really loved. It's called Hi Ho for Halloween. And it's all stories and games and plays for Halloween. And then there was another one by the same author. It's Time for Thanksgiving. And it was the same thing. Little short stories and plays and for kids and stuff. Those are my favorite books. And I am a sad panda. Oh,
gee. I was reading the Calvin and Hobbes and Garfield collections.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I had a slew of Peanuts books. That's like my mom kept all the books that she would get back in the day when they had like book salesmen go door to door. And she bought, when she was little, she bought all the Peanuts books and she kept them. And the covers are all torn off and they're just a mess. But you could still read, you know, still read them. So I still have a couple of those. Those are, I mean, those were really old. Those are from the 50s. So if they were in better shape, they're probably worth money. But,
yeah,
you know, but I would just read but them cover to cover over and over and over and over. Yeah.
I think my parents had a couple of the Charlie Brown ones, too. I have no idea where they would be in, at this point.
We had some of the paperbacks.
That's what these were, yeah. They were smaller than the regular comic, like the square comic book collections that you see now. They were smaller than that. They were like a regular like book size.
Oh, yeah.
Digest size.
Yeah, like exactly, digest. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's what the Family Circus cartoon collections came in, that little digest sizes, too. I would check those out from the library, too, before I knew how terrible Family Circus was.
Before you learn,
I was just a kid. I didn't know what I was doing.
It was a comic to read. It was something. It was pictures.
I was young and reckless.
I remember reading some Doonesbury when I was a kid. They had them in the library. It's like these little paperback sized, maybe a little wider than your typical paperback. And they were thin, but they had a bunch of them. And I would read them. And it's like, you know, they're razzing on Nixon, and I couldn't understand any of it. I remember once, but I would read them because it was cartoons. And one day, there's just the corner of the White House. That's what he used to do for Nixon. And there he is. I had to go to my mom. I says, Mom, what's this word? It's just one word with a little stick, you know.
Oh.
And it says, damn. It says, oh, that's a bad word.
That would be something you don't say.
Okay. They were way beyond me.
So yeah, Doonesbury always went over my head as a kid, so I never got out of reading it. And so I don't really read it as an adult either.
Yeah, I remember reading the comics page with my dad, and there were the comics that he wanted to read and the comics that I wanted to read. He wanted to read Doonesbury, and he would try to read it aloud to me, but I'd usually like jump up his lap and be off somewhere else, you know, like, call me when you get to Calvin Hobbes, kind of thing.
That's a boring.
Yeah, I was. Oh. This is boring. This is about like politics.
Where's Spaceman Spiff?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I loved Calvin and Hobbes, and I got. I ended up getting the 3-volume collection.
I have that.
Me too. Yeah.
Partly
my
because
my friends all got it for me as my graduation.
Oh, that's cool.
I go to a bookstore and I just kind of sit there and drool for a while looking at it. I mean, like I know that I have all the comic, like all the regular collections, so. Like, buying that would just be redundant, but it's still like, I want it. You know?
Yeah, I actually kind of want the book. See, the problem was I had this shelf that was behind the wall where the kitchen sink was, and apparently there was a water leak for, I don't know for how long, but I, you know, there was this smell that was kind of growing, and then you go to reach one of the books, there's every single book on this shelf is molded.
Oh, no.
Luckily, I had water damage on my insurance. And I got money because all my Calvin and Hobbes books were in that.
Oh.
So, it's sin. I technically had them all, though I didn't have, like, you know, like the 3 big ones that compiled the, like, there was, like, 6 little ones before you went to, like, the bigger rectangle books. So I had, like, the authoritative Calvin and Hobbes, which comprised of the first 2 comics.
Essential, books. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, I'm going to get the big, nice ones then. So there.
I have that. It's worth it.
Yes.
The only downside is that you can't really take them with you places because they're very big.
That's true.
That's very true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. I just have too many of these collections. I have a huge bookshelf just jam-packed, bottom to top, with all these collections, and it's like I have like every single one of everything, so I can't like bring myself to get rid. If I had to get rid of something, it had to be like, the whole collection. Like I couldn't just get rid of half a collection, but then I have to choose a collection, and then that hurts, and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. We're just never going to move ever, and I'm just going to keep collecting. The idea is moving, and moving all these books is just horrifying. Oh.
Very true. Who the hell is typing up a storm?
Wow, that is...
I bet that's Alex.
Just you.
Have there been people in the vocal chat room?
There were a couple who I think are just kind of random people, and one who wants us to see his YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I said
no. But nobody really responding to our chat.
Yeah, we'll see how... I'm supposed to be getting the show featured on the front page when we go live. Mm. Or something like that, like a staff pick or something like that. I have to talk to the guy again, I guess. But decided to give it a try since Ustream kind of pisses me off sometimes. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, being live isn't a requirement of this show. It's just a nice, fun thing to do. And it varies of who all comes on. But, you know, as long as I'm recording, you know, that's the important part.
As long as you don't forget that, I guess
that's
okay.
That's preferable.
Yes. So Alex has got to go in just a few minutes. So so I think we'll go ahead and take our second break here. And we'll say goodbye to Alex from alexesguide.net. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Hey.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Werewolf Girlfriend by Aliens and Strangers, found at musicalley.com by Mevio.
Woo!
Woo!
You know what, Mark, if I were you, I probably would just, you know, mirror at Drunk Duck and see what happens, you know. Yeah, I mean, what have you to lose?
Although I have to say, I mean, honestly, if you just post Drunk Duck and do nothing else, you're not going to get readers.
But he has enough of an archive where he can, like, go ahead and just, like, update every single day for 3 years at least. if not yeah,
I would just
five.
I would just say to try to, you know, when you post it on there, check out other comics that are similar to it, read some of them, and, you know, just kind of post comments, say hi to people, and, you know, just get involved. I mean, that will help, you know, get your comic some traffic more than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's always what I tell new people is, look, you only put in, or you only get what you put in. Because I'll have people ask me a lot of times, like, I posted 3 pages of my comic and I don't have any traffic, and where are these people? And I'm like, okay, you have three pages, first of all. and then they say, well, should I make action figures or should I make plushes? I'm like, you have 3 pages of your comic. Like, this is one of my biggest pet peeves, is people that want instant
fame.
Yeah, right. Instant readership, instant, you know, sales on their stuff. And it's like, no.
I have a presentation I'll do at conventions. It's called A Crash Course to Webcomics, and it's gone through some revisions over the past couple of years. When I first came out with it, it's, you know, it's a lot of information that I've learned myself, gleaned from guests on the show, and learned elsewhere. And when I first did it, it basically is this 50-minute rant, let's say.
That word fits you in so many
It was
ways.
Informative, yes, but informative, not really rant. Not really good presentation. So I trimmed it all the way down to something that's really simple. Because it was also originally like almost basically single-spaced 8 pages of information. And it's just about getting started and avoiding some of the problems that people, you know, do with webcomics. You know, just the whole getting started thing. And I started, and I'm going to be doing a new version of that this year at conventions, where I'll review webcomic websites. I did this yesterday at WebReef, which was the online convention that took place of DigiCon, which didn't happen because of stuff. And I did some evaluations, and I managed to go through 5 websites, and it was like a really cool thing idea. And it's you know, there's just things that some people don't really think about, it's people that don't understand how they work will jump ahead or jump to conclusions of what it really means. I always in my crash course, I always have to remind people, you are not Penny Arcade, you are not PvP.
Probably won't be.
Yeah, there's like maybe 20 people that make money, like a significant amount, like partial or full income off of webcomics right now.
Yeah,
maybe
there's not many. Yeah, it's a very small percentage. It's probably less than 1% that actually make money off of it.
Less than 1%. Okay, well, I did estimate 20, and I'm going to estimate...
We're the 99.
That make a living off of webcomics?
25. Yeah, maybe. Or at least, like, maybe half their income. Times point.
Probably looking at less than 100 people, I would imagine.
Less than 1% by far, I would have to estimate, with 25,000 webcomics out there at least.
Oh, wow. We're the 99%.
Yeah. To bring this full circle back to current politics.
I have a question here. Now, I'm really digging this art. Is this all done by hand, or is this digital?
Are you talking about ZNF?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. It is right now it's 100% digital.
Really?
Yes, I have a tablet PC. It's a Gateway. It's one of the last Gateways before it transferred to Acer. I draw right on the screen. So it's kind of like it's a Cintiq. It's basically a Cintiq, but it's built into a laptop. So it flips around, closes, and you draw on the screen. So it's pretty close. I mean, I used the little Wacom tablet for a while, but I hated the disconnect. I mean, I could train myself to do it, but it wasn't fun to draw where your mouse is and look at the screen. It took all the fun out of it. And that's my favorite part is inking. So, but with the tablet, I can sketch, I can ink, I can color, I do everything in Illustrator. So.
Oh, Illustrator. Okay. I always use Photoshop. And you get this nice, I like the colors too. You have a nice, I see you go with that sort of dot screen pattern, like the Sunday Funnies. I like that.
Screen
now, how are you making that? Is that like a pattern that you save, or are you just doing a screen?
Yeah, it's basically a screen. I basically have a layer that's at the pattern that I created. I saved it as like a swatch pattern. And it basically covers the whole area, and then I set it to, what is it, soft screen or soft fade or something like that. And that way, anywhere is white, it's just going to look like stark white. And anywhere that has color, but it's not all colors, it's like certain colors, that it'll show through just a little bit. So I just have it like on a separate layer that's always locked, and then I can work on top of it with the inks or beneath it with the colors. So.
Oh, awesome.
That's a little tricky. Little trick of mine.
So Blambot had something like last month. I think it's the same idea where it's cross-hatching. And you have multiple layers, and then you erase one to get the crisscross layer. You erase the top one, and then you can see the other one underneath it or something like that.
Right, okay.
It was only like $4. I haven't played with it yet. I bought it, but I haven't checked it out. But it looked pretty interesting. It looked like an interesting way to do shading. I don't so much do cross-hatching, but...
Yeah, I used to. If you look at the old comic Leftovers, I was like a cross-hatch crazy person. You know, must have heard cross-hatch every goddamn thing in the whole comic. You know, I was just a little crazy about it. And when you zoom, what I'd find, when I'd reproduce it at a smaller size, it just became a muddy mess.
Yeah.
So I went to art school for 4 years and had, you know, illustration teacher that really honed in on my style. And, now instead of cross-hatching, I do these just kind of all in the same direction lines. And I don't cross over them, but I just do these little lines. He would compare me to Crumb a lot.
Crumb.
And he was, even though, obviously, it wasn't the content, it was just the style.
I can see that. Yeah. I was looking at... one of the characters, the way the ears are shaded. Yeah, I could see that. Does this scale well? Does the this sort of half-tone screen that you have here? I've always had trouble with that, scaling it. When you work on it full size and then shrink it down to publish it, I always got the French word, Moyer, however you pronounce it, where you get like Mr. Spock's viewer. Get that sort of swirl pattern instead of dots.
I've only just started doing this. I had a little bit of a. I took one of my first ever like hiatuses where there was just nothing going on the site, and I was revamping it. I was also building myself my first ever buffer, so now I have like a month buffer, which is nice, and to see if that would help. Kind of lessen the load of stress of getting it done in time and everything, because I can just kind of, well, I'll just wait till the weekend, you know, or something. So, but my point being, train of thought, is that, you know, I haven't actually published the strips that have this pattern in it yet. So I'll have to see how it turns out. My guess is it's probably not going to be noticeable. That they're not very dark. You know what I mean? The dots aren't very dark, not very prominent. I think it's going to be something you see in the color, but once you make it grayscale, because all my books are all grayscale, I just can't afford to do the color. Once you make it grayscale, I don't think you'll be able to. I think it's just going to look gray. So.
Yeah, I see that. But even when you shrink it down for the web, sometimes you get, or I would get those wacky.
I have
lines and things, but that was just
what you see is what you see with the web, you know. So that's how it looks. I can't say it looks that much better in Illustrator, you know. But it kind of, I mean, being Illustrator, you know, I could scale up, scale down as much as I want because it's vector; it'll just retain the shape. So, and you can set the pattern so that when you scale things up or down, that the pattern remains the same; it doesn't scale with it. So the dots don't get bigger or smaller. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm probably doing it wrong then. I do like that. I like that sort of. It looks like it's printed in the newspaper kind of look there.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a little bit of something instead of making it so flat. You know, I wanted to be able to give it a little. You know, because a lot of people like the comic because it reminds them of the heyday of the newspapers and at least the cuteness of it. You know.
Well, let's see. Now, I just as an experiment, I saved one of these and threw it in a old version of Photoshop and just took all the saturation out and the dots are there.
Okay.
And they look nice. They don't look bad or anything. Of course, it's not converted to scale or anything. It's just color with the saturation gone. But
well, thanks for the guinea pig experiment.
Curious about that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll have to see how it prints, though, because, you know, looking at it on a screen as opposed to printing it. Well, I think if it's noticeable, it's going to be a very minor thing, and if it's or it won't be noticeable. So, because I mean, with printing black and white, you get the dots anyway. You know,
yeah,
you get the printed dots where the grayscale is. So, and they usually come out fine with the flat colors. It looks fine. Looks pretty good actually for just using black inks, but.
So I got a question on your current storyline here.
Yes.
are you being blatant and trying to get brony traffic?
Brony traffic.
Well, I mean...
Have you sent an email over to Equestria Dailies?
I've been hearing about... See, the thing is, I don't know anything about my I had to do research, but I kept seeing it everywhere I went. Like, all my fellow creators were creating ponies. I'm like, what is the fad with this? My God, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I watched an episode, and I'm like, okay, I still don't really see... It's cute, and it's got comedic timing, and that's nice. And, you know, if I was younger and I was a girly girl, then I probably would like it. But other than that, I can't see what the fad is. And so I was just like, you know, I'll write a comic about it, like, because I could see my character Fred loving it, whereas Zorfbert would find it like highly offensive or ridiculous or whatever. So, I didn't realize I would get, because the first comic that I posted, I had a ton of comments and a lot of bronies coming in, or I don't know, Pegasisters or whatever they're called.
Pegasisters.
Yeah, as I said, this is beyond me. But they're all coming in, leaving comments, and talking about why it's the awesomest show ever and all this stuff. And I'm like,
it's so awesome. Fine.
So have you checked your stats since?
I mean, it's not astounding or anything, but, you know, I mean, I did get some people coming in from that. And, you know, some people are like, this is a really cute comic, I want to share it. And now they like the comic beyond the My Little Pony part of it. So
Right.
You know, it's a storyline that'll end, and I probably won't talk about My Little Pony again. So, you know, if I lose people because I stopped the My Little Pony storyline, so be it. It's fine.
Your pony burn.
I am looking at your Project Wonderful stats, and while that may not be accurate, oh boy, you certainly had archive diving going on in the last week.
Yeah, and I did notice that some people were jumping through, so that's good. You know? And I'll tend to get that. I'll tend to get, you know, if I look at my stats for what pages are looked at, usually the latest page, but then almost always between number 2 and 5, mm-hmm, is the very first page, and then it goes 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it just keeps going from there. So people tend to come and go to the beginning. So I mean, it's good. That's what I want them to do. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm just looking at it. It's always cool when you say, like, okay, you know, 342 uniques. Oh, hey, 2,000 page views. Yeah, obviously that's not actual numbers, but it's Project Wonderful stats are good for trends. But it's always good to see if you can retain people, and hopefully that can be done.
It does seem like some of my the readers that tend to come back and leave a comment, a lot of them tend to also like My Little Pony. So I'm like, okay, there's some sort of connection here. It's probably the cuteness factor, I'm guessing. But, you know, it's some connection. And that's something I found with advertising on Project Wonderful, is it's very curious what your demographic is. You know, when I first started advertising, okay, sci-fi sites, anything with aliens, or, you know, maybe paranormal, like these types of things, because my characters are aliens, right? So naturally, sci-fi. I get nothing. And nothing, I guess I'm too cute for the sci-fi, hardcore sci-fi fans who like Star Trek and things like that. So they're not really into it. However, I get a ton of traffic from furry sites. So if I advertise on a site that has walking, talking, cute characters, you know, whether it just be something like Pinkerton Park or something, like, right, that just has animals talking to each other, or it's actually like a furry, like more of a furry site,
right,
then anthropomorphic, basically. But where I get my traffic from. So
I get you.
It's more about the cute talking dogs than it is about the aliens. when it comes to traffic.
Well, you never really get to see that.
But it's interesting.
You never get to really see the aliens.
Right. No, that's my number one question is when are you going to show what the aliens look like underneath their costumes?
Never.
And that's my answer. it's a tactic. It's a gimmick that's used commonly. I mean, I compare it to, as much as, you know, the show's kind of corny, but I compare it to Home Improvement, how their one neighbor, Wilson, was always behind the fence and you couldn't see his face. You know, it's a gimmick. It's kind of amusing to people. Are they going to ever get to see his face and how they manage to cover it up and everything? You know, it's something that's been used in the past, and you know, if it works, it works. So it's something that I think is fun, and also I think that whatever I would draw wouldn't live up to people's imaginations. So I think it would just be a disappointment no matter how I do it if I wanted to show them.
Right,
but.
Or you could always have like an April Fool's episode and just kind of, it's something really ridiculous. Oh, they're really da da da. You know, something really
they're
ridiculous.
Really, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock.
just something crazy.
I had a contest a while back that was a lot of fun. I referred to it as my True Identities contest, and it was people would submit what ZNF really looked like underneath their costumes. And I had some of the funniest things come through. Some people would draw comics, like full-on comics detailing how they, you know, expose themselves. But I also have, you know, some people that would just draw, like somebody did Pinky and the Brain because they kind of have that dynamic as characters. So I was like, that is really funny, you know. But, you know, it was cool. It was funny how many things people came up with. And
right.
So that was cool, but I don't think I would do it. I debated if I would maybe do that at the very end, like show them at the very end if I decided to, you know, retire the comic, that maybe I'd do that. But I don't know. It still seems like a cheap thrill. And it would just be a disappointment, you know. So,
I can see that. Well, let's see here. How much time do we got? Oh, hey, we're kind of getting there. So let's see here. Well, I've talked about our competition just a little bit here. Webcomics Alliance podcast, so to speak.
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you know, we all handle the webcomics podcast in different angles, so it's not.
Yeah, I think we're very. I think we're different because I mean, we tend to deal with like the workshop aspect, and we talk shop, you know, and how to fix issues and stuff. So it's more the business side of it. For creators, whereas, you know, interviews with, you know, a lot of comic webcomics podcasts are interviews or things like that. So I think
we talk about topics. We have topics. <Kind of. laughs> We used to a whole lot. We were running out of topics.
it does get hard after a while. You have to kind of put a spin on certain things or come back to them and say, okay, you guys suggest this. It didn't work. You suck. What else can I do?
Right. So what my question is basically what brought Webcomics Alliance into existence, I suppose.
Huh. Well, I think it was a while ago. There a bunch of us were formed. I'm talking like 40 plus people were a part of a collective called Webcomic Planet. That retired, it just couldn't be kept up with, and a lot of the 40 members basically were there but not doing much of anything. So we're kind of like, we need to like hone in on this, and a bunch of us from that group kind of said, I'm gonna take this over, change it, polish it up, you know, make it better, and keep it with people that really want to put in a ton of effort into it. And so that's kind of a few of us from that ended up being part of, coming up with the Webcomic Alliance and doing all that. So that was basically how it started. Byron Wilkins is really kind of the head of that. Not that he claims to be in charge of the whole thing, but he was the kind of one who spearheaded, started the whole idea, and, you know, got people involved and kind of took charge, at least at the moment we're starting up. And then from there, it's kind of all of our little projects. So,
well, all right. That's over at webcomicalliance.com. And if you want, you can go listen to their podcast. But
they have some good stuff over there. Good articles and stuff, too.
Maybe.
There's a good one coming up this week. Maybe. It might be good. I'm not going to condone it.
Okay.
Okay, we've lost Mark. He's gone off the end now.
That wasn't me. That was all him. That was all
Fezzi. Oh, I thought that was Mark. Sorry.
I have the maniacal laugh.
Yeah, your laugh is very different than your regular voice, so I thought it was Mark.
He has the sort of Lady Elaine Fairchild cackle down.
Okay, I got a variety of laughs. Anyway, I think this is the end of the show. Better be.
Way to go out with the maniacal laugh.
Anyway, we have been torturing Don Griffin from ZFComics.com. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks again for inviting me.
And once again, I've been Fess of ArgerComic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.